Give out the word. Give out the word. God's word brings illumination. And when God's word comes into a person's life, the dimension of your life is increased.
Thanks so much for joining us today for Living in the Light and a message from Genesis chapter 1 with Bible teacher Ann Graham Lotz. The primary purpose of the book of Genesis and of Ann's message is to reveal God. And nowhere is his story more powerfully told than in this book. Here's Ann.
But Genesis chapter 1 goes on and tells us that he is also sufficient in his power. And listen to me. The same power of God that was sufficient in the beginning to transform planet Earth from something that was in darkness and in a fluid-like condition with no aim or purpose and transform it into a place that would be beautiful and bring God glory, that same power is available to transform your life today. And he uses two primary vehicles through which he releases his power. And the first is through the preparation of his Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And we find in verse 2, this earth that's without form and void and darkness covered in water was just like a blob hanging out there in the universe. In fact, if you and I had been in the universe at that point and we'd looked at planet Earth, we would have said, "God, what a waste. You know, why don't you do something about that? It's good for nothing. It's not pretty to look at. It has no purpose or meaning. And why don't you do something? What a shame to let it go to waste." And we would think, as we looked at planet Earth, that God was doing nothing at all. And yet at that very moment, in the invisible person of his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was hovering over planet Earth. And when it says hovering, it means energizing, pulsating, preparing planet Earth to receive God's word and be transformed. And I want to ask you, who are you praying for who's in the same condition that planet Earth is in verse 2? Do you know somebody who is without form? They have no goal in life, no purpose for living. Somebody who is empty. There's no satisfaction, no fulfillment, no meaning. And they live in darkness, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of confusion, the darkness of depression. And they're covered in water. The deep covers them. And they feel depressed, and they're moody, and they're undulating, and they're always changing. They're unstable. And you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've said, "God, what a waste. And why don't you do something about that person?" And I wonder if you're not even praying for that person anymore. You've gotten so discouraged in your prayers. And is your faith based on what you can see God doing? Listen to me. God is active, remember? He is supreme in his activity. And he can't be less than himself. He is active. And when you and I pray our prayers of faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, and we come to God and we're praying for that person, you can count on the fact that God, who is active, will respond to your prayer of faith and be working in the life of that person through the invisible preparation of the Holy Spirit. So you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and keep your focus on the God of creation, who transforms people's lives today through the same power that he used to transform planet Earth. And he releases his power through the preparation of the Holy Spirit, and secondly, the proclamation of his word. So you pray and you give out the word. You go through Genesis chapter 1, you just can't miss it. Almost every verse has the little phrase, "And God said, his word went forth, and God said, his word went forth, and God said, his word went forth." Every day, God's word went forth. Every day planet Earth received God's word. Every day there was some change that took place as a result of God's word going forth and being received. And the change wasn't all at once. The change was progressive. So day after day, as God's word went forth, day after day, as God's word was received, day after day, as the changes took place, in the end, planet Earth was transformed into a place that was not only beautiful to see, but a place that reflected the very glory of God in the image of man that he placed there. And I want you to look at the changes. We're just going to look briefly at the changes that took place in planet Earth. And because they're very similar to the changes that take place in a human life today when God's word comes in and the preparation of the Holy Spirit has been there And then God's word comes in and these changes take place. And the first one is in verse 3. And God said, his word went forth, let there be light. And there was light. The first thing God's word does is bring illumination. He gives us understanding. We begin to understand spiritual things. I told you I was in Amsterdam, and I had what I think is one of the highest privileges a Christian can have, and that is to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And there was a young man there who was helping us, and I just picked up on something that let me know he was living in darkness. And he shared with me that in one day, his wife had left him, he lost his marriage, she took his son, so he lost his family, his house burned to the ground, his whole life had collapsed on him. And he didn't know anything about God. He didn't even know the things in his life were wrong as a consequence of sin. He was just living in total darkness. And so I asked him if I could share God's word with him, and he said yes. And so I took my Bible and opened it up, and I began to share God's story with this young man and took him through the verses that tell us that we've all sinned and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I took him through the gospel story and asked him, and as I began to share it with him, I saw the light come on. You know, you can just sit right there and you look at this face that's cold and suffering and the tears coming down his cheeks, and you can see the lights come on, the little sparkle in his eye. And I said, Patrick, would you like to pray and invite Christ to come into your life? And he said, oh, yes. And we prayed together in that little room, and Patrick invited Christ into his life. The lights had come on. And he understood he was a sinner. And he understood he needed a Savior. And he understood if he would come to God by faith through Jesus Christ, that he could be born again. And that God would help him clean up the mess in his life. And it might not always or go back to the way it was before he made a mess, but God could help him get in there and in the end bring blessing from all the mess that had been made because of his sin. And I saw the lights come on. And when God's word comes into a person's life, the light comes on. And they understand they're sinners. And they understand they need a Savior. And they understand that God loved them so much that he sent his own son to be their Savior. And they understand that if they place their faith in him, they can have their sins forgiven, they can be reconciled to God, they can have eternal life. That's illumination. So give out the word. Give out the word. God's word brings illumination. Secondly, it brought a new dimension. In verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And God gave planet Earth just breathing room. He just lifted that atmosphere and gave it a sky and gave it some room to breathe and increased the dimension of planet Earth. And when God's word comes into a person's life, the dimension of your life is increased, isn't it? People think if they come to God that somehow they're going to be less, or they're not going to be as happy, or they're going to be more narrow-minded, or, you know, their hearts are going to get smaller or something. I don't know, but when God's word comes into your life, it gives you an added dimension, doesn't it? And you can begin to think his thoughts, and you love God when before you didn't even know him, and you like people that you couldn't tolerate before, and you understand things that you didn't understand before, and even the world outside looks more beautiful. And life takes on a richer, deeper, fuller meaning, and you have an added dimension. God's word brings added dimension. And thirdly, God's word brings a foundation in verse 9. And God said, his word went forth, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. And the earth had a foundation, a place where you could stand, something you could build on. And I'm so grateful today when our world is changing so fast, isn't it? With our technology and our morality and our values and what's wrong yesterday is right today, and what's right today is going to be wrong tomorrow, and everything's changing. Aren't we grateful that we have a foundation on which we can stand, and that we know there's no other foundation you can lay than that which has been laid for us in Jesus Christ? And it's a foundation on which you can stand, a foundation that you can help lay for your children, so we have no idea what the future is going to hold. But isn't it wonderful that when we teach our children God's words, and we ground them in the scriptures, we're giving them a foundation that's going to be just as solid 50 years from now, 100 years from now, as it was thousands of years ago. He gives us a foundation on which we can build our lives. God's word also brings beautification. Verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. In planet Earth, it had looked like a lunar landscape, you know, barren and just rocks and barren things, was suddenly beautiful. There were moss and ferns and orchids and roses and trees, and it was beautiful. And when God's word continues to come into a person's life, you can almost see the change in their outward countenance, can't you? And there is a joy and a love and a peace and a goodness and a kindness and a gentleness and a meekness and a self-control, and it's just the beauty of Christ coming through. And God's word brings beautification. And then God's word brought direction. In verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God gave light to the earth for direction, for migration, for navigation. And when God's word keeps coming into your life, He begins to give you direction. You have wisdom for those decisions. You know where you're going. You know where you've come from. You know who you are. You have purpose in your life and meaning to your life, and you have direction. And then God's word brings animation. Verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And it was so. And this planet Earth that had been beautiful to look at, but sort of like a still painting, suddenly was filled with life. And Jesus said He's come to give us life, and abundant life, and more life than we can live. Eternal life. Life lived to the fullest. A fullness of joy. A fullness of peace. A fullness of happiness. And He gives us a fullness of life. And He brings animation. Whereas before there might have been a listlessness and a helplessness and sometimes a depression, and now we have something to live for. We want to get up every morning. We have a reason to keep on keeping on, and it's the animation. It's the life that comes as we grow in our relationship with God through His Word. And God's Word came into planet Earth. Every day it was given forth. Every day it was received. Every day there was a change that took place, and the changes just built one on top of the other. And God's Word today still has that same kind of power. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you ask the Holy Spirit of God to hover over the heart and the life and the mind of that person that even now is on your mind. And then you ask God to give you the opportunity to give them the Word. Or maybe pray God will some way bring somebody across their path that will give them the Word, that they'll hear something on the radio, they'll read a book, they'll watch a video, and they'll hear the Word of God. Because God, the Creator, is absolutely sufficient in His power to transform lives today. And He transforms them through the preparation of His Holy Spirit and the proclamation of His Word. So you pray and give out the Word. You pray and give out the Word. You pray and give out the Word. Keep your focus on the God of creation. Absolutely supreme in His person, absolutely sufficient in His power, absolutely sovereign in His purpose. We come to the end of Genesis 1, and planet Earth reminds me of sort of a baby nursery. You know, there's the crib, and there are all the little baby clothes and the wall hangings, and it's all painted the little pastel colors, and it's just waiting for the baby. I was preparing a wedding chapel across the valley where my parents were actually married and where Danny and I were married, and then our daughter and her husband were going to be married. And we got in that chapel and we decorated and we had all the flowers and the ribbons in and all the things you do in a wedding chapel. And the day came when the sky was blue, the little white fluffy clouds, about 70 degrees, just what Rachel Ruth had prayed for. And windows were open, the breeze was blowing, beautiful music being played, and people gathered and waiting for the bride. And planet Earth is all transformed. And like the baby nursery waiting for the baby and the wedding chapel waiting for the bride, it's just waiting for the climax of creation, for the crown jewel. And so God said in chapter 1, verse 26, and By the way, just notice, nobody said, God, why don't you do this? Nobody gave him the idea. This wasn't something anybody told him. This was just according to God's sovereign purpose. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God created you and me, men and women, and all the human beings through history, for two primary purposes. He created us to reflect his image. And it says that he created us in the image of God. And I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it has something to do with our physical appearance. But I think, bottom line, the primary meaning is that God created you and me in the image of our Creator, meaning that he created us with the capacity to know our Creator in a personal, eternal relationship. That's what sets us apart from the animals, isn't it? You know, they can take animals and some of our characteristics are so similar, they can do research on animals and it benefits us. And once in a while, they can transplant some organ from an animal into a human being and it works because our bodies are so similar. But a monkey will never become a man. And one bottom line reason is because man is uniquely created in the image of God with the capacity to know his Creator in a personal, eternal relationship. And yet we know the story, don't we? That we were created by God. And we were created for God. You go into chapter 2 and God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed his own life into Adam. And Adam became a living soul. And he was created to live forever with God, to enjoy God's presence, to talk with him and walk with him and love him and to enjoy him. And then sin came into Adam's life and broke the relationship with God for which he was created. And Adam and Eve were separated from God. And all through human history, as a result, we've been separated from God. And the image in which we were created was marred by sin. And God so loved you and so loved me. And he sent his only begotten Son, that when we place our faith in him, we'll not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. And included in that everlasting life is not only forgiveness of our sin, not only heaven when we die, but it includes reconciliation with our Creator, so that we come back into the personal, eternal love relationship with God for which we were created in the first place. You and I were created to reflect his image. And 2 Corinthians says, as we behold him in his word through the pages of his story, and as we saturate ourselves in the scriptures and we allow the Holy Spirit to take control, we are changed from glory to glory, from character to character, until once again his image is reflected in our lives. You and I were created to reflect his image. So let me ask you, what's marring his image in your life? Is it some sin, a habit of sin, an attitude of sin, a broken relationship? You know, I wonder, is there somebody here that before you go to bed, you need to pick up the phone and call that person and say, I'm sorry. Or call that person and say, I forgive you. Or call that person and say, I love you. And you'd be the first one to initiate the reconciliation. Maybe there's something else that God would bring to your mind you need to set right, that you can begin to fulfill the purpose for which you've been created, that you might reflect his image as you draw close to your Creator and allow him to fill and flood your life. You and I were created to reflect his image, and secondly, we were created to receive his blessing. Why is it we miss this? In verse 28, so God blessed them. Adam and Eve were created to be blessed, to receive God's favor, to receive God's benefits, to receive God's love, to receive God's goodness. They were created to be blessed. And you and I were created to be blessed also. Have you settled for a substitute for the blessing of God? You settle for books about his word instead of his word. You settle for religiosity instead of a relationship with him. You settle for orthodoxy instead of obedience. You settle for programs instead of real power. You've settled for something other than the blessing He wants to give you. Listen to me. You were created to receive the fullness of His blessing. Don't settle for anything less. God loves you. And that's why He brought you into existence, because He wants you to know Him in a personal, permanent love relationship. And He wants you to reflect Him so that other people can see Him and they can get to know Him. And the whole purpose is that you might be blessed, that you would come into the fullness of the reason for which you were created, that you might find real meaning in your life. So who is God? Don't you know? Haven't you heard that God is the everlasting God, creator of the heavens and the earth? He's absolutely supreme in His person, absolutely sufficient in His power, absolutely sovereign in His purpose, for you to reflect His image, for you to receive His blessing. Now that's a story to tell. Would you get to know God as He reveals Himself in the pages of His story? And would you make Him known to somebody else? Would you pray with me, please? And Father, we just bow before You in humility, because we know we fall short of what You created us to be. And we understand that the great Creator God of the universe went through all of this process in Genesis chapter 1 just to bring me into existence, that I might know Him. And so, Lord, we just come before You now, and we ask that You would pinpoint those things in our lives that need to be confessed, need to be set right, that we might be restored and reconciled in the relationship with You for which we were created. We want to reflect Your image so that our spouse can see You in us, and our children can see You in us. We want to receive the fullness of Your blessing, not all of these cheap substitutes, all of this material prosperity that's substituted for the real blessing of God. We want the real thing. And so we thank You for Your story. We thank You that through the pages of Your story, You reveal Yourself to us. And God, You are awesome. And You are more wonderful than our minds can conceive. We just ask that You enlarge our capacity to know You and to understand You more than when we began, that we might grow in our knowledge of the God who is our Creator. And so we offer the thoughts in our minds and the emotions in our hearts, the decisions that we need to make, we offer them to You in the name of our Lord and Savior, the One who is God, made Himself of no reputation, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on the form of a man, even the form of a servant, became obedient, even to death on the cross, for me. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Now here's Anne with this final word.
Jesus is the Son of God. That doesn't mean He is God Jr. It means He is God in the flesh as man. We can know God by looking at Jesus. Knowing God is the meaning of human life. It's the reason for our existence. It was the completion of all the changes God made in the environment in the beginning. And it's the completion of all the changes God is making in your life at the present. Is your life complete? Do you feel you're waiting for something, but you don't know what? A yearning deep inside for something, for someone. Get in touch with your Creator. You're hungry for God. You are created with the capacity to know Him in a personal, permanent love relationship. That capacity is empty until you establish the relationship with Him for which you were created. And you establish it by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ.
This has been Living in the Light. Please take advantage of all the free resources at anngrahamlotz.org to help and encourage you in your walk with God and in your study of His Word. Join us here each week for Living in the Light.